Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says here, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth there upon." The title of my sermon this evening is A Wise Master Builder. A Wise Master Builder. Now, why is Paul the Apostle calling himself a wise master builder? Well, before we get into that, I really want to talk about the fact that we as Christians, we ought to build things, right? And I'm not talking about things that are physical. We were just talking about church right before, you know, the pyramids and how they built that, and, you know, the Tower of Babel and all these things. You know, those physical things aren't really that important. Right. What's important is what we build for God. Nice. The things that will last forever. That's what's the most important. And in fact, we referenced this scripture in our conversation this afternoon, but in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 4, it says, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." And what's the purpose of it? "And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." You see, a lot of people, even in ministry, they build things for the sake of making a name for themselves. Right. You know, they want to build a huge church, and not necessarily the people within the church. We're talking about the actual building. You know, the high steeple with few people type of a church and building. Why? To make a name for themselves. Yeah, right. They want to be known as the popular pastor, the Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, the liberal pastor who has this beautiful building with fountains and LCD screens and all and the like. But what is it for? To make a name for themselves. Right. You know, we ought to desire to build something for God. For who? For God. Amen. So that God may receive the glory. And look, it would be a blessing if our church grew to be like 1,000. But you know what? If it never does, amen.
Amen.
If it never does, we can still do it for God's glory. Right. And in fact, if it never does, God will probably get more glory. Right. Why is that? Because it's a small amount of people who are doing great works for God. And people will look at that and say, man, it must be God doing that.
Right.
You know, because there's so many little people here, or, you know, it's, the church is only 60 or whatever it may be. And it's just like, it must be God who does that. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Don't we ought not to be like the Genesis 11 people who want to build their tower, but for what? To make a name for themselves.
Right.
Okay. In fact, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, Jeremiah 45 and verse 5, it says, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." And that's a rebuke to Baruch. And he said, look, you ought not to seek great things for yourself. We ought to seek great things for God. Amen. Do great exploits for him, as we mentioned this morning. Now, why does he call himself, the Apostle Paul, why does he refer to himself as the wise master builder? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, the way you're supposed to build, obviously, is you start off with the what? The foundation. And the Bible tells us here, there's a foundation that no man should lay. It should be this, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And what is that a reference to? Well, I believe this is a reference to salvation. Okay? The foundation is the most important aspect of a Christian's life. That we are placing our faith in Christ. We're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just building upon great works to justify ourselves in the sight of God.
Right.
We're not basing our salvation off of the great exploits we can do or how good of a Christian we look like. No, it's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is our foundation.
Amen.
In fact, look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. The Bible says here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works." Now, who says that to God when they get to heaven? You know, yeah, thanks, Pentecostals. You know, it's just like, look at all the wonderful works that I did. Look how good I am. You know, I cast out so many devils, and I've fed the poor, and I've done all these wonderful works. But what does the Bible say in verse number 23? "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we can say with assurance that their foundation was their works. Their foundation was the fact that they prophesied in his name. Their foundation was the things that they did, not the faith that they placed on Jesus Christ. And look, I'll tell you that this passage is in reference to that in regards to the foundation, because let's read on. It says here, verse 24, "Therefore, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? A wise man. Amen. Which, what did Paul call himself? The wise master builder, right? Which built his house upon a rock. And we understand, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, that rock was Christ, right? It says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, the Bible tells us that we're going to fall. There's going to be times when we fail and we make mistakes. But the Bible tells us, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. But that's the person who has the foundation, which is Christ. That's the person who's trusted in Christ for their salvation. Whereas, look at verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. That's the Pentecostal. That's the Catholic. That's the Mormon. That's every other religion other than Christianity. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now go with me if you want to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So we see that the foundation, according to the Bible, is in reference to salvation. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, no foundation can no man lay save that which is Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that our foundation is correct. You know, if you have salvation wrong, you have everything wrong.
Amen. Right.
That's why we can never learn any other doctrine from some unsaved heretic.
Amen.
Well, it just sounds good what they're saying. You know what? People who are not saved, who sound good, they just have swelling words.
Right.
Okay? They entice with swelling words, and that just because it sounds good doesn't mean it is good.
Yep.
You know, we need to make sure that the person is saved, whoever we're listening to.
Right. Yep.
Okay? And we got to make sure that they have the right foundation. You know, I've heard people say, well, if they have baptism right, you know, they have everything else right. No. If they have salvation right,
Amen.
Then they probably will be right on some other things as well. Okay? And by default, we can say, look, if they have salvation right, at least we know they got the Holy Spirit of God living within them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have some devil living within them, telling them to preach all kinds of false doctrine and heresy. We understand that if they have the Holy Spirit of God living within them, they're preaching out of the King James Bible. Hey, we could rest assured that that person is going to give us right doctrine.
Amen.
Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The same concept here. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So the foundation of God is sure. The seal, what is the seal? The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, in whom you also trusted, after that you hear the word of truth, in whom also that after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit of God, after we believe on him, is sealed within us. And Ephesians 4 tells us until when? Until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Until he redeems us, according to Romans chapter number 8. Okay, where we wait to wit the redemptions of our body. And so that's the seal that we see there. Verse 20 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself for these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm just laying the foundation that we ought to have is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Salvation ought to be correct. That's why, you know, we can't listen to pastors when they say, well, you know, they're a little wrong on salvation. They believe in repenting of your sins, but they're a little wrong on that, but they're right on this. No, they're not right on that.
Amen.
Okay? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned, according to the Bible. Oh, but, you know, they just believe, they're a little off on salvation. If you're off just a little bit on salvation, then you're completely off.
Amen. That's right.
Then you're wrong, period. Okay? Why? Because then, at that point, you're not saved. You're an unregenerated person claiming to be a Christian trying to teach me the Bible. It doesn't work. These things are spiritually discerned. They can only be understood by God's people through his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read to you. You don't have to turn there. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 4 says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it says there to be rooted and to be what? Built up. Rooted in who? In Christ.
Amen.
And it says there, it also tells us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how do we receive him? By faith.
Amen.
So walk ye in him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. You know what that tells me? Is that the prophets of the Old Testament, they had to believe on Christ to be saved.
Right.
That was their foundation. No, it was the sacrifices. No, it's not the sacrifices. Those were a shadow of things to come. Right. But you know what we have today is churches that believe, people were saved by the sacrifices in the Old Testament, by the blood of bulls and of goats. Well, you need to read Hebrews chapter number 10.
Amen.
Okay? Because the Bible tells us it is impossible that those things should take away sins.
Amen.
And here it says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Well, what prophets is it referring to? The prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What is it? What is a cornerstone? It's a foundation.
Yeah.
Okay? Verse 22 says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now go to Hebrews chapter number 3, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 3. Now Hebrews chapter number 3 is a passage that has perplexed me for years. I remember getting saved and reading through the entire Bible and coming to passages like Hebrews 3, and it's just like, I don't know what it means. You know, and obviously you understand that the Bible does not teach you to lose your salvation. We know that for a fact, okay? You can't lose your salvation. It's impossible to lose. But I like what Brother Milan said. You run into passages, and it's just like it messes with the narrative of the story of the Bible. It's like you come up, it's like, man, that doesn't go along with everything else I'm reading. Why is that? Now, let me just sidetrack here and say this. Anytime you run into a passage like that, don't get scared.
Amen.
Don't start panicking. Just keep reading.
Amen.
And say, well, don't understand it, but maybe one day I will.
Amen.
Okay? And say, God, open down mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm going to accept this passage by faith and believe what it's saying, even though I don't necessarily understand it. And guess what? Maybe you're not ready to get that truth as of yet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe God's like, you know, I'm not going to reveal that unto you as of yet. You know, you're not mature enough. You're not old enough to understand those passages. But later on, as you read more passages, you'll come to an understanding of it. That's why I love the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, because the Bible is inexhaustible. The more you read it, the more you learn. You can never get to a point where you just know everything.
Amen.
You know. And I remember getting this, understanding this passage on the airplane on the way to Phoenix, and I was thinking to myself, wow, God is good. That's so awesome. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's teaching me the Word of God. And it's just like, there it is. Now let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this. There are a lot of people who say that Hebrews was not written to save people. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard something like that. People will say, no, it's written to Hebrews, but it's not necessarily written to Christians, to save people. It says holy brethren.
Right.
When have you ever seen anybody call an unsaved person a holy brethren? You know, maybe in John Nelson Darby's Bible, you know, where he says all kinds of crazy stuff. But not here. It says holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as his servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verse 6 is the verse that really perplexed me for years. It says, but Christ is the son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And I remember reading that, thinking to myself, whoa, hold on a second. What do you mean I have to hold it firm unto the end? You know, that kind of sounds like, you know, and obviously I was saved when I read this. And I just said, you know what? I know the rest of the Bible doesn't teach you have to work your way to heaven or do anything like that. I just don't know what this means. But God, I'm just going to trust you and I'm just going to forget about it. And I remember throughout the years, I'd go back to it. I tried to understand it, couldn't understand it. Now, what does that mean? If we hold fast, because obviously that's the condition, right? The confidence and the rejoicing and the hope firm unto the end. Now go to Luke chapter 14. Well, first and foremost, in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So we understand this is that salvation is like an anchor of the soul. both sure and steadfast. Okay, what does that mean? Well, an anchor digs deep into the ocean floor and it makes sure the boat, though it's swayed left and right a little bit, does not move very far. Okay, yep. Yeah. So God is telling us, hey, salvation is like that anchor. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You'll never lose it. Okay, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And all the verses that talk about that. He says, so what does it say then? Then why is the condition if we hold fast the confidence with rejoicing firm into the end? Well, if you think about it, we're not commanded to rejoice to be saved or to have confidence to be saved, you know, firm into the end. Think about that, right? But secondly, what we build doesn't determine our salvation.
Amen.
It's what we lay as a foundation that determines our foundation. Because Jesus Christ is the foundation.
Amen.
Anything that's built thereupon is the works that we do for the Lord. It's the things we do for God. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what does it say? If any man build thereupon gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones are those things that are of quality. Things that cannot be burned up. Things that will last. Things that have quality to them. Whereas wood, hay, and stubble, man, you can burn those things really fast. So that which we build upon that foundation is not a picture of our salvation. It's a picture of our works,
Amen.
The things we do for God. And look, there's a lot of people out there that are working for God, but you know what it is? They're not necessarily doing quality work.
Right.
And you know what they're producing? Wood, hay, stubble.
Yep.
Things that will ultimately, at the judgment seat of Christ, will burn. Okay,
right.
It's going to burn. It's not going to count for anything. And they're going to be saved, yet so as by fire, as the Bible says. You know, I want to make sure they're going to suffer loss. I want to make sure that whatever I build, it lasts forever.
Amen.
I want to make sure that it's gold, silver, and precious stones, things that can withstand the test of our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Now, look at Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and tell me if this sounds similar to this. Because remember, Hebrews 3 says this, if we hold fast, you know, the confidence with rejoicing, firm until when? Until the end.
Yep.
Now look what Luke 14, 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, why haply? After he hath laid the foundation, who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. And is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You see, what it's talking about right there is this matter of living for the Lord and working for God.
Yeah.
You know, happily we lay the foundation, we get saved. But you know what? What you build thereupon, those are the works you do. And you know what you have? We have the world, we have the flesh, we have the devil, but we also have other Christians who are looking upon our work. And you know what they're gonna see? They're waiting to see if you're gonna hang in there.
Yeah.
Firm until the end. They're looking to see if you're gonna hold fast with confidence, with rejoicing, firm until the end. And how shameful is it sometimes when Christians, they get off track.
Yeah.
You know, they get out of church, they stop reading their Bibles, they're no longer soul winning, they're no longer doing these things. What happens? They begin to mock, saying this person began to build and they were not able to finish. You know what's one of the worst testimonies that a Christian can have before an unsaved world is this attitude of quitting.
Yeah.
It's quitting, especially to our own families who are unsaved. You know, sometimes our families, it takes years for them to get saved, not because they just don't want to believe, they want to see if it's real.
Amen.
You know, and what happens, Christians out there are just like, they're just like up and down, up and down. They're in and out of church. You know, what is that? Well, you're not able to build.
Yep.
Okay. And so what happens? People begin to mock is what they do. No, we want to make sure that as we're building, we're going to continue to build.
Amen.
You know, as we're soul winning, we're continuing to preach the gospel. As we're building the church, we're continuing to preach hard on sin. Okay, and preaching the whole counsel of God, regardless of who gets offended, in spite of what takes place or the consequences thereof, we want to make sure that we live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, and we want to finish.
Amen.
Not just when it gets hard, we get out of church or whatever it may be, a job this or money that. No. Hold fast the confidence with rejoicing firm unto the end.
Amen.
Now, go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. So Hebrews 3 is not referring to salvation, it's referring to what we're building thereupon.
Amen.
You know, whose house are we if we hold fast with confidence and rejoicing firm unto the end? You know, God doesn't want us to just get saved and just quit, okay? He wants us to be saved, but he wants us to start working for him to make sure that, you know, we get our reward. What does the Bible say? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Amen. If there's a condition, we faint not.
Yep.
You know, I honestly believe, and people differ with me on this, I think it's true. And you know what? I'm glad I believe this because this helps me to stay on track.
Amen.
I believe that, you know, if you quit on the Lord, you lose all your rewards, in my opinion. You know, I think you lose all your rewards because it says, if we faint not. You know, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But you know what? I want to keep believing that to help me to stay on track. Because here's the thing. I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was like, well, you know, I'll backslide for a little bit. You know, I'll just go ahead and sold my wild oats and stuff like that. And I've done enough for God in the past. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, no, I want to make sure that I hold fast with confidence.
Amen.
Firm unto the end. Why? Because I want to reap in due season.
Right.
I don't want to faint. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is that made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Go to Mark chapter 12. So the Bible relates Jesus Christ as that cornerstone, that those who have believed on him, he's precious. He's precious to us. And it talks about those who the builders disallowed. Who is that referring to? It's referring to the Jews.
Yep.
Because look at Mark chapter 12 and verse number 10. This is in context of the Jews. It says there in verse number 10, and have ye not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. You see, that makes perfect sense. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us he came into his own and his own received him not.
Yep.
And we know that by and large throughout the word of God, the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. What were they rejecting? They were rejecting the foundation.
Yep.
The head of the corner. They disallowed it. They rejected him. Okay. And because of that, according to the Bible, they are rejected of God. But even at the end, when they die, guess what? They, along with the world, they go to hell just like everyone else.
Yep.
Why? Because they rejected the cornerstone, the foundation. See, they're not the exception. No one is the exception. Whoever rejects the cornerstone, whoever rejects the foundation, which is Christ, will suffer the consequences because of it.
Amen.
We got to make sure we have the right foundation, okay? Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Man, I remember when I got that, I was on the airplane when I was reading Hebrews 3. I wanted to scream. Not really, but I was just like, man, I got it. You know, this is it. I'm happy. You ever get that feeling? You're just like, man, it's like satisfying.
Yep.
And it's just like, God is faithful. I knew I was going to be able to understand. And one day, hopefully, I'll feel that way about 1 Corinthians 11:10. You know, because of the angels. You know, it's just like that. I was racking my brain this week trying to figure out what that means. And maybe I'll never know what it means. But Lord willing, one day I will. You know, one day I'll be on an airplane and it'll have a eureka moment or something. You know, I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And look, every single Christian ought to desire to get that reward.
Amen.
There ought to be a desire within you to say, man, I'm thankful for salvation, but I want a reward.
Amen.
If God is offering me something, you know, other than this free gift, I want it.
Amen.
Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And thank God for that. You know, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
You know what? Salvation is better than hell.
Amen.
So people who get saved, the people we got saved in Compton, if they never come to church, they never build their lives around the word of God, you know what? They probably will suffer loss. They won't get any rewards, but guess what? They get salvation.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, That's way better than hell.
Yep.
Okay? It's way better. But you know what? Now that we're saved and we know what the Bible says, we ought to desire the reward.
Amen.
Not to suffer loss. But let me say this. There's Christians who are in churches that they're still going to suffer loss. Because
yep.
we don't get rewards for coming to church.
Yep.
You guys know that?
Amen.
Like, oh, man, I'm suffering. It's so hot in here. I'm just a martyr for Christ, man. You know, this is so difficult. You know, no, you know, sorry, that doesn't go down in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, or you're not suffering for Christ by coming to church. Okay.
Right.
In fact, when you come to church, you're getting edified, you're getting taught, so you can continue doing the things that you're doing so you can earn your reward.
Amen.
And by the way, you're just sitting there listening, right? It's not like you're not, you know, you can drink some water, go step outside, use the restroom, you know. It doesn't take a whole lot of work to come. Don't act like it's martyrdom to come to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Or like it's Hades to come to church or something. I know it feels like it, but it's not it. Okay? No. We need to make sure that we recognize that the work that God is talking about is actually work. Soul winning is a good place to start, obviously. Preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, doing that work, that counts. I'll tell you this. I know there's 99 people. I know this for a fact. 99 people from yesterday that got some good rewards.
Amen.
142 people saved. Yeah, that's someone's racking up some rewards right there.
Amen.
Okay. But again, that's what we're building there upon, that foundation. All right. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 12. So let me give you some points here. So number one, let me say this, is that as we're building, we need to recognize that some people build the wrong things.
Yep.
They build it, and just because, maybe it's because they were deceived, their pastor, you know, deceived them, or whatever it may be, you know, they're trying to assimilate to the methodologies of the liberal churches, or whatever it may be. You know, some people just build the wrong things. And look, they may be sincere, but you know what? A lot of people are sincerely wrong.
Yeah,
right.
And sincerity doesn't get you rewards, you know? Being sincere doesn't get you rewards. Like, oh, I feel sorry for those lost people. You know, that doesn't do anything for you. God's not going to be like, well, you know, I'm going to get you a reward for feeling sorry for those lost people who are going to die and go to hell because you didn't go preach to them the gospel. You're definitely going to get a reward for that sincerity. No. No, God gave us the ability to feel sincere and compassion and pity to move us.
Amen.
To propel us to go do something for the Lord, to go get people saved so then we can earn a reward.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
But there's people out there that build the wrong things. Look at Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, this is Jesus speaking, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. So he's building for the Lord, isn't he? Or he's actually building for himself is what he's doing.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to tear this down. I'm going to build something that's greater. And I will say to my soul, by the way, who talks to themselves like that? I mean, does anyone ever, you know, like, hey, soul, Armenians, did they do that? He's Armenian, all right? So he can vouch for that if that's true. See me after the service to see if that's true or not. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God has said unto them, thou fool, man, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, and I think this guy was saved. I think he was saved. You know, just because God says thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, he's saying you're going to die today. Okay, and look what it goes on to say, verse 21. This is why I believe he's saved. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Yep.
So this guy was building, but he was building the wrong things.
Yep.
You know, he was building barns greater to hold all his goods instead of using his goods to be rich in faith.
Right.
You see, we ought not to desire, and that this entire story comes after verse number 15, where he says, a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What does a man's life consist of? The faith that he has.
Amen.
To build things for God. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of people, sometimes we're so temporal-minded. We're worried about the physical things of this world and what are we building here. God says, look, don't worry about those things. Take no thought for tomorrow. Okay? We need to make sure that we're taking thought for the things of the Lord. That we're building things that will last us in eternity in heaven. Go to Romans chapter 15. What does that look like then? You say, well, if those are the wrong things to build, then, you know, you say, why don't you guys have a building program? Because we're not going to do that. That's we'd rather invest money, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, in missions trips and going to Compton and seeing people saved in Compton. That made a huge impact there. I mean, Compton was awesome. Okay. CPT. It was great. 142 people saved. I'm still stoked about it. I'm excited about the work that took place there. I'm humbled by the reaction of the people who, when they received the gospel, they were grateful. They were happy. They said, man, we never had anybody come and tell us these things. Thank you so much for talking to me about this. That touches the heart.
Amen.
Those things are eternal.
Amen.
Those are our crowns of rejoicing.
Amen.
You know, you say, man, but you guys spend so much money with food and, you know, all these things. But you know what? A small price to pay.
Amen.
For the salvation of one soul.
Amen.
A soul is eternal. You know?
Yep.
And look, money is a tool, man. Money's a tool to get the work of God done. Feed ourselves, pay the rent, put gas in the tank, you know, the temporal things of this world, so that we can go out, dish out the money to get people saved.
Amen.
That's what's most important. And look, I want the money to keep coming in this church. You say, why? So you can buy a Mercedes Benz? No. I can care less about having nice cars. You know, I want the money to keep coming in so we can keep doing works for God.
Amen.
So we can keep seeing more souls saved. Because I want God to look at us and say, you know what? They're using the money correctly. Because my God owns a cattle on the thousand hill.
Amen.
He owns all the silver and gold in the world. Lord, send the silver and gold over here. What, so you can be like rich and stuff? No, so we can invest into the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And see people saved. Do great exploits for him. That's the purpose. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about from unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's Compton right there. Who's gone to Compton? You know? We're not building another man's foundation because no man's going there.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to Inglewood next.
Amen.
Inglewood always up to no good. We're going there.
Because
no man's building there. So why not go over there where Christ has not been preached?
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to buy a plane ticket to go to like China or Africa or the jungles of Congo. There's people in Inglewood who haven't heard the gospel. Yeah. I mean, the little girl who I witnessed to, 10 years old, she's like, I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
What do I have to do not to go to hell? And I'm like, man, the fruit was so low.
Yep.
You can just like blow on it, it'll fall off. And then it's like, okay, well, hold on. She's 10 years old, hold on. So if I believe on Christ, what if I sin? Do I lose my salvation? It's like, she's asking all the right questions. And it's just like cake. But you know what? No one wanted to go and give her the gospel. We'll take the job.
Amen.
We'll do it. Those are easy rewards right there. Look at Galatians. What do I have you turn? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. So, in other words, what he's saying is, look, your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Amen.
Okay? A lot of people talk the talk, but what about walking the walk?
Right.
He's saying there, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden, the Bible says. Jude 19, please. Go to Jude 19. You know, we got to prove our own work, but I think it's proven. You know, and our church is about 10 months old. We're about to hit our one-year anniversary. I'm looking forward for the next 10 years.
Amen.
Next 20 years, what God's going to be able to do in our church. But you know what we need to do is hold fast, firm unto the end.
Amen.
Okay? And look, don't quit.
Yep.
Don't be the one a year from now to quit.
Yep.
I can't handle the homos coming and protesting here. At the sign of the first homo that comes to protest our church, I'm out of here. No! Don't do that. You got a church here to back you up.
Yep.
Amen.
You know, we got a church here We got a dumpster with a dead dog in it. We got all kinds of things we can use, okay? I'm serious. If you guys didn't know, we had our dumpster here. Man. So we're walking up to the church, and it's just like, man, what stinks? This is trash. It's our trash can. And I was like, I'm going to push this out of the way. I'm about to push it, and there's like a dead, full-grown German Shepherd in there. I'm like, this is El Monte. This is it, you know? Mark and I had to push it around the corner using gloves, you know, just holding our breath the entire time. But look, don't get discouraged. And look, if thou hast run with the footmen and they had wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? Amen. You know, there's going to be trials. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be protests. I'm sure there's going to be all of that. But you know what? Keep building and hold fast, firm unto the end.
Amen.
And look, everyone gets discouraged from time to time. When you get discouraged, start teaming up with someone who's really bold in the church. Amen. Someone who's not afraid. Because that rubs off on people.
Yeah.
Zeal rubs off on people. You know, and then you'll get some umph. Then you say, you know what, let's do this. Let's fight. Let's fight the Lord's battles.
Good.
Let's keep at it, firm unto the end. Jude 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for that mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And notice verse 20 about building up yourselves is in the same context here, verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, go back to Luke chapter 14. So we understand that people build the wrong things, and if you want to make sure that you're not building the wrong things, here's a good place to start, soul winning.
Amen.
That, without a shadow of a doubt, is the right thing to build. Okay, you will never go wrong with soul winning. You're like, well, what about my family? You know, we got to take care of our family. We got to make sure that we're handling all responsibilities. But make time for soul winning.
Amen.
Why? Because that's a for sure reward when you go out and preach the gospel and see people saved. You know, have a heart for souls. Have a love for people. Okay? But how do we build then? Okay? Well, 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn to 2 Timothy 2:4. Says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So according to the Bible, if we're going to be rewarded, crowned, we got to make sure that we're going according to the blueprints, the instructions that God gives us.
Amen.
He is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Okay. Now, here's some tips on how we can build, all right, for the Lord, so we can earn that reward. First and foremost, we need to build with the end in mind.
Amen.
Build with the end in mind. Look at verse 28 of Luke chapter 14. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So in other words, it's like, look, when you begin to build for God, count the cost. Okay? In other words, don't just think that Christianity is just a bed of roses.
Yep.
Nothing bad's going to happen. You're not going to get sick. You're not going to get persecuted. Everyone's going to love you. That's not the case.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that when you're intending to build, you're counting the cost.
Right.
And look, it says to see if you have sufficient to finish it. That's not necessarily saying like, okay, well, I don't have sufficient, so I'm not going to build. You know, I don't have enough boldness, so I'm not going to, you know, be a part of this battle here. No. In other words, it's saying, okay, I'm lacking this, so therefore I need this.
Yeah, man.
I lack boldness because if, you know what, I'm somewhat of a coward. I'm a little scared. Okay, then you need to pray that the Holy Spirit fills you with his power.
Amen.
And get some valor. Get some courage. Get some strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Have sufficient to finish it.
Amen.
But build with the end in mind. Realize, hey, you know what? I don't want to just be here until the end of the year.
Right, yeah.
Okay? Be determined and say, you know what? I want to make sure I stick it out forever.
Amen.
Until Christ comes back after the tribulation.
Amen.
You know, I'm just going to be here to the bitter end, no matter what happens. And that's why it's important that you come to church, not for a man, not for me, not for Pastor Anderson.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
You need to make sure that you're here for the right reasons.
That's right.
And the reason is because you love the Lord. You love the Bible. You love souls. You love the work of God. That's why you're here. Because here's the thing. The old IFB, people fell to the wayside. They would go to liberal churches all the time. You know why? Because their leader failed them.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, people mess up. pastors mess up or whatever, they quit. But the people who quit were depending too much on a man. They were idolizing a man. So when that man fell away, guess what? They fell away likewise. We need to make sure that we have our focus on Christ, because Christ will never fail us. Amen. You know, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. We can rest assured that he's there. But we need to make sure that we build that end in mind to say, look, my goal is to make sure that I keep my family in church all the days of our lives.
Good.
You know, that I raise my children for God, that I read through the Bible, that I see people saved, have weekly and yearly goals of salvations. You know, say, man, I want to see like 30 people saved this year, you know, or 20 people saved this year. I want to make sure I have that goal in mind. I want to make sure I stick it out to the very end. And look, this kind of encompasses a lot of areas in our Christian life. For example, you know, if you just got married, stick to it to the very end.
Amen.
No quitting in marriage.
Yep.
We don't say the D word here.
Amen.
No divorce. Okay? And if you're divorced before and you're married now, stick to that.
Amen.
Okay? And look, marriage is going to get hard. It's not a bed of roses. It may be for the first year or two, but after that, it gets a little difficult. The honeymoon is over.
Yeah.
And you start realizing that her feet stink too, and vice versa. Okay? Like, no, not my wife. Okay.
Yeah,
you'll
right.
see. Because it's life.
Yeah. Amen.
But you ought not to be a weakling and say, well, you know, at the hint of her not submitting to me, or when he's not nice to me and he's a jerk, you know, the D word, you know, divorce. No, that ought to never be in the minds of any Christian to ever want to get a divorce.
Amen.
You know, you stick it out to the end.
Amen.
Build with the end in mind. And by the way, when we got married, that's what we did, didn't we?
Yep.
Till death do us part. And no, that's not murder. Okay? But we need to make sure that our marriage is, hey, we stick firm until the end through sickness and in health, poverty and in wealth, all those things, and say amen. And look, talk to your spouse. Those of you who are going to get married, talk to your future wife, future husband, and say, hey, I want to make sure that we stick with this to the very end,
amen.
To the bitter end. You know, it's not always bitter, okay? But, you know, to the bitter end, and say, I know there's trials coming along the way, but I want to make sure that we stick with it to the very end.
Amen.
You know, and look, your husband's going to fail you. Your wife's going to fail you. No, not my. Okay, see, you're not building with the end in mind. You're living in candy land.
Right.
Not my hubby. Not my babe. Yes, your babe. Yes, your hubby. They're going to mess up. Why? Because they're sinners.
Amen.
And sinners do stupid stuff. They're going to offend you. Okay, they're going to say mean things to you. They're not going to keep their promises to you sometimes. You know, but that doesn't have to be excuses to say, oh, this, I don't think this is God's will for my life. Well, you know what? It may not have been God's will in the first place, but it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, now that you're married, that's God's will right there. Amen?
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that when we're building that, we're staying firm until the end. Now, I'm not saying like marriage is like arduous and it's just like you just got to like endure it. Marriage is not endurance, okay?
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. But there are intervals of difficulty that you're going to face, you know, when you irritate each other. Okay, you know why? Because she's a girl. And you're a guy. But mostly because she's a girl. All right, just let you know that. Hey, and soul winning. We need to hold fast, firm unto the end. Build with the end in mind when it comes to soul winning. Just because you fail in soul winning or you had a bad day yesterday in the marathon or whatever it may be, don't say, you know, I'm just going to sit this one out. No, hold fast, firm until the end.
Amen.
Be faithful, be consistent. Go soul winning every single week when you feel like it or not. Just do it.
Amen.
You know, preach the gospel. Refine yourself as a soul winner. Get close to those who know how to preach the gospel well and learn from them.
Amen.
Don't be so proud to think that you've already arrived when it comes to soul winning. I want to keep learning. Why? Because the more I learn, the better my rewards will be.
Amen.
Okay. And look, some of you who speak Spanish or are learning Spanish, you need to get on the ball and learn it better. Why? Because the majority of your rewards that you're going to get here is going to be when you speak Spanish.
Amen.
That's just fact. 40% to 50% of the people I went to the Lord in are in Spanish. Okay. So I told someone yesterday, they're like, I'm learning Spanish. So I'm like, that's how you rack up your rewards right there. Because you're able to give the gospel in two different languages. And look, obviously there's people who can and can't do it, but those of you who can, Take advantage of that. Because I guarantee you there's people who don't have that ability that wish they had your ability. Okay? Don't be a lazy Christian. Get with it and learn it so you can give the gospel in Spanish. See people saved. There's tons of Hispanics here that need to hear the gospel. And they're very open to it. You obviously have your Catholics here and there just like, you know, no hablen de mi Virgen Guadalupe and all this junk or whatever. No, but we're talking about the people who are actually open to it. And you know what? Hispanics, they love it when a white person or someone who's not Hispanic is talking to them in Spanish. They think that's honor. They're like, wow, this person's like trying, you know? I mean, when we went to Mexico and I was with Pastor Anderson is fluent in Spanish, but he speaks it like a gringo, you know? Estaría 100% seguro si usted muriera hoy, you know, like that. But you know what? The Mexicans there in Mexico, they loved it. They listened and they got saved. Because they thought that was honorable, you know? So look, if we need a soul win to the end and build with the end in mind, you know, improve as a soul winner. It ought to be that throughout the years you become better at what you do, at your skill as a soul winner. You know, learn new techniques or learn new phrases, learn from different people. Don't just stick with what you got, build thereupon, okay, to become a better soul winner. Look, how about this? How about spanking your children? By the way, in our church, we teach to spank your children.
Amen.
Okay? You know, oh, you know, you hate them. No, the Bible says you hate them if you don't spank them.
Yep.
Okay? You know, that gets a little tiring, right? You're like spanking, and it's just like, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like spanking this kid, you know? But we need to hold fast, firm to the end, okay? Amen. Why? Because, number one, we're trying to deliver their souls from hell.
Yep.
But number two, we don't want them to be wicked people when they grow up.
Amen.
And the way you produce a wicked person is by not spanking them.
Amen.
Okay, but not using the rod of correction. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we need to be on the same page in regards to that too. Okay,
amen.
And if you don't agree with that, then you need to read Proverbs. Okay, and see what God has to say about spanking your children. I just have so much love for them. You know, then express it through spanking because that's what the Bible says you ought to do.
Amen.
Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Okay, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, the Bible says.
Amen.
And he gives us that example to do so. But you know what? There's times when that gets tiring. Or it feels like they're not learning from it. You know, you spank them and it's just like, man, is this kid getting it? Yeah, they're going to get it. Because we can trust in God that what he's saying is true.
Amen.
Okay, look, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to give us advice and say, yeah, this might work. This isn't Spock. This isn't Dr. Phil. Oprah, who gives you weird, you know, methodologies and teaches and say, well, you just praise them all the time and don't tell them anything negative. No!
Amen. Right?
I tell my son that all the time. Don't touch that. No. No. They need to learn the word no. And by the way, that conditions them so when they're older and they're soul winning, when they hear no, they're not going to get discouraged.
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, he said no, I can't believe it. Dad, she said no, she doesn't want to date me. It's just like, okay, well, you know. That's what no does to you.
Yeah.
You know what no does to you? It helps us to be stronger.
Amen.
So when you're out sowing and they say no, it's like, okay, next door.
Amen.
You know? Or when we pray and God says no, okay, then move on.
Yep.
You know? It's like, oh, why would he want to hear yes? Just say yes for everything. No, that's Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
That's Oprah. That's this generation of just like, you know, cuddle your children. Your children are going to be wicked when they grow up.
Yeah.
If that's what you do. Okay, we need to make sure that we apply. And look, when I say correction, I don't mean just verbal correction.
Amen.
Right? I don't mean like a verbal, like, don't do it. No, I'm talking about the rod of correction. And look,
amen.
If you say, well, I don't know if they're living in your under your roof, they need the rod of correction.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why is that? Because the Bible says that there's an order. There's one person who's in charge.
Yep.
That's the man. And what he says goes.
Amen.
Okay? And he's responsible. He's deputized by God to apply that rod of correction.
Amen.
You guys understand that? So we need to make sure that we're firm on that until the end. You know? And look, if you struggle with that concept, then build with the end in mind. Realize what that will do to them in the long run. I'm thankful that my mom whooped me when I was a kid. I hate hearing about people, oh, I just got abused, and, you know, they messed up my brain. Man, my brain's not messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not dead because of my mom.
Amen.
I'm not involved in gangs because of my mom.
Amen.
You know, I'm not a loser.
Yeah.
Because of my mom. Why? Because she whooped me. She spanked me. Now look, she didn't give me the biblical spankings, you know, which is in the hinder parts. You know, Hispanic moms do it a little different. They use anything that's like, whatever's in sight, it's like, bah! If you're across the room, it's just, their moms, Hispanic moms, they could play baseball. They're just like, and you're just like running, like, bah! They're good, man. They're creative. They'll use the hangers, you know, chanclas, you name it, they can use it. They have a mind, of witty inventions, okay? But I thank God that my mom whooped me.
Amen.
Okay? Why? Because, you know, I learned that life has consequences to it. And I tell my mom to this day, Mom, thank you for whooping me. You know? I want to make sure I raise my kids like that too.
Amen.
Because I'm not perfect, but I see what it produces.
Yeah.
It helped me to realize that there's consequences to life.
That's right.
Which ultimately really led me to Christ. Because then I heard about hell. I don't want to go to hell. I know there's a consequence for my sins. And that opened me to the gospel. You know? So you have to make sure that you're building with the end in mind. You know, that's why the Bible says, spare not for his crying.
Yep.
Right? It's like, why? Because you will deliver his soul from hell. He's telling you the end.
Yep.
What's the result of your chastising? And be determined to do it. Okay? Don't be influenced by this stupid society that tells you that you shouldn't spank your children and, you know, all praise and positive things. You can't run a car only using positive.
Right.
You need both negative and positive. Try to run your car only using the positive section of your battery. Yeah. Go ahead. Try it. Let's see how far you go.
Yeah.
Not very far. Okay. But not only this, how about this? How about this church?
Amen.
We need to hold fast, firm until the end.
Amen.
Okay. Look. Thank God, you know, we got like 14 months in our, is that me or you? Oh, that's you, sorry. The other day the phone rang and like the Bluetooth was in. I gotta be careful. Let me make sure that this is airplane mode. So we need to make sure that in 14 months we're gonna be going independent.
Amen.
You know, and praise God for that. Look, I'm in no rush, by the way, to go independent. It's like, man, don't you just wanna... I'm having a good time right now.
Amen.
I'm enjoying the season that we're in right now.
Amen.
Okay, I'm not like, I don't have on my desk like scratching, you know, like one more day is like until we go. No, I'm not. I'm enjoying what we have right now. But it is going to come.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Are you going to hold fast with confidence, with rejoicing firm until the end? Amen. Or it's like, man, as soon as it goes independent, I'm out of here. I'm going to the new church plant. Or I'm going to go do something else. No, we ought to say, you know what? I'm going to stick it out.
Amen.
I want to see what God's going to do in this church, the work that he's going to accomplish, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Firm until the end. Go to Hebrews chapter number 3. In verse number 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." So that's another verse that will often perplex me, like, man, what is partakers of if we hold fast? Come on, you're making it seem like it's like, is it a works? Well, it's saying partakers of Christ. Well, what is that referring to? Go to Romans chapter 8. So it says there, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Look at Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. So the Bible tells us that when we're saved, we're heirs of God. We're going to heaven.
Amen.
But look what it also says. And joint heirs with Christ. So that means we get what he gets. If there's that condition, so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, if we're saved, we got the heir, we got the inheritance of heaven.
Amen.
But I want to be a joint heir with Christ.
Amen.
But what I have to do, I have to suffer with him.
Yep.
I have to endure persecutions and build upon that foundation, etc. Okay. Now, go with me if you would to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. So we said here that we have to build with the end in mind. So think about it. When you're suffering, when you're being persecuted and your family's getting on you because, you know, you're part of the movement or whatever, you know what? Endure with the end in mind. Build with that end in mind to say, you know, one day They will understand. One day they will see there's an end to these things.
Amen.
Okay? But not only that, start building with the intent to finish. Okay? 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." This is talking about Paul. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Man, he's finishing strong is what he's doing.
Right.
"Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Go to Hebrews chapter 12. So we got to make sure that as we're building, it's like, man, I'm going to finish this. No matter how hard it gets, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to keep the faith. By the way, that entails not changing.
Amen.
And look, when I say not changing, I'm talking about not changing for the worse.
Yeah.
People have gotten on me like, "Oh, Brother Bruce, you've changed for the better."
Amen.
"You've changed your doctrine." Yeah, for better doctrine.
Amen. Yeah.
"I've changed him from false doctrine to right doctrine."
Amen. Yeah.
That's the right kind of change you need to make.
Right.
Because look, the same people who say that, you know, I want to ask them, so do you expect a Catholic to change what they believe? Of course you do. Because you want them to change what they believe is wrong to believe what's right.
Amen.
Well, guess what? I'm still practicing that. Yeah. And look, I'm not saying I've always believed the right things, but you know what? I believe them now.
Amen.
And we want to make sure we have an attitude that we're constantly growing in doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? Growing in our understanding is, "Oh yeah, but you believe new doctrine." No, I don't. There's people who believe this for hundreds and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And in fact, people in recent days who I personally know believe these things.
Amen.
This isn't anything new. There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
I didn't even know where I was going with that, but it was good.
Amen.
Look, we want to finish our course.
Amen.
But now that we believe right, oh, that's where I was going. Now that we believe right, you know, we need to stick to that.
Yeah.
Not change on the reprobate doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm 60, I want to preach as hard as when I was 32.
Amen. Amen.
Lord willing, harder.
Yep.
Eat my vegetables and my fruits and make sure I have that vitality and to be able to preach hard. And if I have to do it in a wheelchair, I'll do it.
Amen.
But I want to make sure that I hold fast firm unto the end.
Yeah.
Okay, not soften up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So I like what it says there. We need to run the race with patience. What does that mean? In other words, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Amen.
You know, don't burn out. You know, and here's the thing. Typically, Christians who typically burn out in the Christian life, they're just like on fourth gear the entire time. It's like, and that's why they burn out. Not me. I put it on fourth gear every once in a while, but I downshift a lot though, because I'm trying to last long.
Amen.
I want to run with patience the race that is set before me. And I know my limitations. You ought to know yours too. Like, yeah, but what will people think if I start like, you know, if I take it easy for a little bit? They'll think that you're taking it easy for a little bit.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Who cares what everyone else thinks?
Amen.
Yeah.
Let every man prove his own work. Right?
Amen.
Prove your own work. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So Jesus Christ left us an example. You know, he endured, and anytime we're tempted to faint, we ought to think to ourselves, man, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, that's my example that I look to. Not look to just, you know, we're thankful for the men that we have as an example, but ultimately we need to look to Christ to say, man, he endured the cross.
Right.
Lest I faint in my mind, according to the Bible. Now go to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're almost done. Here's the last point regarding building. As you're building, you need to ignore the scoffers and scorners as you're building. Because here's the thing. Anytime you build something for God, the roaches come out.
Yeah. Right.
All the roaches come out to try to discourage you, talk a bunch of trash, try to stop you in your work. Okay? Why? Because you're doing something for God. The devil doesn't care if you're not building anything for God. You know? But if you are, if you're making a dent for the kingdom of God, guess what? Then Satan's going to come and try to hinder you. Okay? You know, I think of, I keep seeing this Instagram post with Joel Osteen's wife. And she literally said, yeah, you know, this ministry is going to do great damage to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, right.
You know, great damage to, and they didn't even catch themselves. But you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And it's like all over Instagram. It's like people are like, did she even hear what she just said? She didn't correct herself. She didn't say, oh, I mean four. You know what I mean? No. She said two, the kingdom of God. And Joel Osteen's like, because he's in full agreement.
Yeah, right.
What's that? You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, that's right. I want to do damage to the kingdom of God. That's what I want to do. Okay. But on that note, you know, as we're building, that's who they're going to try to damage is us.
Yeah.
So as we're building, just recognize scoffers and scorners are going to come. Yep. And this could come from YouTube comments to friends and family, right? Saved or unsaved. And even from churches who are saved who don't agree with us. It comes from all sides.
Yeah.
And look, to be a part of this movement, you need to get some fortitude.
Amen.
Some thick skin. Thick rhino skin is what you need. And look, you gotta let comments and insults and persecutions just come off like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Okay? And just be like, whatever, you know. I've had people say vile things to me on YouTube. And it's like, man, these people are wicked. This guy, this 35-year-old living with his mom in his basement, in her basement. He's so wicked, you know? But you know what? If I dwell on that too much, I'm like, oh, I can't believe he said that to me. No one loves me, you know? People like that quit. I just go, well, you're just proving that what I'm doing is right.
Man.
You know, and then I add salt to the wound by like commenting back or whatever.
Yeah.
Reprobate. Look at Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, you know, these little churches, these 20 new IFB churches, what do these guys? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Are they really going to bring soul winning back? You know, King James Oling with all their little things that they get on post-trib and all. Are they really going to do something? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So he said, Saul, he goes, man, that whatever they're building, it's nothing. If a fox tries to run up on that wall, it's going to fall over, is what he's saying. Verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their own head. That's what you call an imprecatory prayer. Nehemiah's a godly man. He's like, man, I hope that what they're saying to me actually happens to them.
Amen.
And give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And look, we need to have a mind to work. Okay? As we're building, it's just like, this is a place for work. This is a place where we fellowship. And by the way, we got a lot of good fellowship in here, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, tonight, we'll probably be here till like 12. You guys will be here till 12. I won't. No, I'm just kidding. You know, people will be here late, but what are we doing? We're fellowshipping. We're having a good time. And you know we fellowship late when Hike and Mark have to go take off and go get pizzas for everyone to eat so they can keep fellowshipping. That's typically what they do. But we're a church who likes to fellowship.
Amen.
We have a good time. But you know what? We're a church that likes to work.
Amen.
Okay? What verse are we at? Verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. So what is a breach? A breach is basically a crack in the wall, okay, where an enemy can get through. So what these guys were doing, they were building the wall and they were sealing up the cracks. You know, the areas where the previous generation failed to do so. So how do we relate that to our movement? Well, you know what? In our movement, that's exactly what we're doing. We're healing up the breaches of doctrine. Okay? Sealing up the reprobate doctrine, end times, and all these other doctrines. We're sealing them up. But you know what happens is the people, Sanballat and Tobiah, they look at that and they're wroth with it.
Yeah.
Why do you preach against the homosexual so bad? Because they're wicked and no one else is doing it.
Come on.
You know why? Because I love my children. That's why.
That's right.
And I don't want my children to be molested. That's why.
Amen.
That's why I preach hard on them. Okay? I'm sealing up the breaches. I'm doing my part along with these other pastors who are out there who are doing their part to seal up the breaches on the wall.
Amen.
So how do we know if we're really sealing it up? If Sam Ballard and Tobiah are wroth with it. Okay, verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. We got to fight against these guys. We got to make conferences against Pastor Anderson, you know. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. What a godly man. And set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So just remember, we're always going to have enemies that are trying to cause the work to cease. Yeah. But let me say this, don't let that be in this church.
Amen.
And if anybody ever tries to cause any kind of contention or division in this church, I'm booting you out.
Amen.
That's good.
That's right.
No questions asked.
Amen.
If you try to cause any division and try to cause the work to cease, you see this foot? You're getting it.
Amen.
Right outside the door. Why? Because we have a mind to work.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that in our church we have unity.
Amen.
Unity is important. Okay? We can't have disunity. We can't have one person believe one doctrine and another person believe an entire different doctrine. I'm talking about essentials here.
Yeah.
Okay? And look, in our church, we believe in church discipline. Right? And we've had, unfortunately, we've had to administer it multiple times since our existence 10 months ago. Okay, that's not to brag. That's to say that we want to make sure that we're healing up the breaches. And by the way, one breach that needs to get healed is a matter of church discipline.
Amen.
Go to Nehemiah chapter number 6. So I want you to know about Tobiah, okay, and Sanballat. These are the real people who are out there in the world who are trying to cause us to stop working.
Yeah.
Okay, they want the work to cease, the Bible says. But you know, if we have a mind to work, we can keep going. Look at Nehemiah 6:1 says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian, the rest of our enemies, heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And they thought to do me mischief. Let's go have a coffee. You know, let's reason together, okay? But what does the Bible say? They thought to do him mischief. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down.
Amen.
Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner.
Amen.
So you know what? When people try to come and they're like, well, let's go meet, you know. I don't believe what you believe, but we can just talk about it. Yeah, let's go debate a little bit. Why?
Yeah.
Why should I cause the work to cease? I'm doing a great work.
Amen.
Why are you going to go to Compton? Why are you going to go to Inglewood? Why are you going to go to these places to see people say, you know, well, why are you trying to cause me to cease the work?
Yeah, right.
You know, Sanballat and Tobiah? All these independent fundamental Baptist church? Tobiah Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Sanballat Baptist Church? Trying to cause us to cease. You know, we're doing a great work and I can't come down.
Amen.
I can't go debate you. Sorry. You know, oh, why don't you debate me on Facebook? Well, one, because I don't have Facebook. Two, I'm not a reprobate. And three, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down.
Right.
So just recognize as you're building for God, you need to make sure that you expect Sanballat and Tobiah to come and mess with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, and this sometimes it comes from family. And you're like, oh, you guys are a cult because you're telling them not to listen to their family. No. First of all, this is the family of God.
Amen.
Second of all, we have our loyalties to God more than anyone else.
Right.
Okay, just remember that. But thirdly is this. People are going to try to come to you, discourage you from doing the work. It's like, I can't believe you're doing this. You know, don't you love us? And they try to pull all those cards on you. You know what? I'm doing a great work and I can't come down.
Yes.
You need to have mental fortitude to stick it out, even when persecution comes. I remember when we started the church, you know how much persecution and junk we had to deal with from the other side? Day in and day out, morning and night, I'm working with Ulysses, getting text messages, emails, all kinds of stuff from people saying, I can't believe you're backstabbing all these people. What? And it's just like, you know what? I'm doing a great work and I can't come down.
Amen.
People are like, You know, leaders are calling me, we need to meet, you know. When can we meet? Because I just want to talk to you. But you know what? Never. We can't meet. Because I'm doing a great work and I can't come down.
Amen.
You know? And look, we only have so much energy. You know, emotional energy.
Yeah.
We need to invest it in the right place. Don't waste your time with people trying to discourage you from the work.
Amen.
You need to make sure that you are on point, you're building with the end in mind, and expect the Sam Balance and Tobias on YouTube. You know, on you know, trying to discourage you and your families from other churches. And don't be shocked when they come. Don't be like, oh, man, did you hear what they called me? You know, they're talking all kinds of trash about me. I don't know what to do. You know what? That confirms that you're doing right.
Amen.
Let that be a check mark to say, oh, man, hey, I'm doing pretty good then.
Amen.
These guys are criticizing me. Looks like I'm doing pretty good. Because, look, if Satan's not attacking you, then it probably means you're not a threat. But if he's sending all his Tobias and Sambalas at you, that means you're doing a great work. Why? Because they're wroth with the work that you're doing. Because you're healing up the breaches that they've made. They're like, why are you healing up these breaches that we made? We accept the Sodomites in our churches. Why can't you? Because God said no. That's why. And don't try to stop me from the work. Okay? That's the kind of attitude we need to have. Have a mind to work. Don't stop me from what I'm doing. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. I wish we could read more of this story. Maybe we'll preach on Nehemiah chapter 4 and 6 a little more. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's what we need to do. So remember, the foundation is Christ.
Amen.
But what we build there upon is the works we do for the Lord. But we got to make sure that we're building right. Don't build vain things that are going to burn, wood, hay, and stubble. Make sure it's quality. Gold, silver, precious stones, and expect Tobiah and Sambala to come to try to stop you. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day, and thank you for your word, Lord, and so many great truths and riches that we can get from this. Thank you for Nehemiah, who is just a great man of God, someone we can emulate. We'd like to emulate our lives according to, and what an example he was to us. And I pray that you'd help us to have that same attitude, that same spirit. And Lord, help us to build. Thank you for the foundation that we have, which is Christ, but help us to be aware of what we're building upon that foundation. May it be gold, silver, precious stones. May we put soul winning first, put our families first, and not be afraid. Help us to be bold as lions, Lord. And the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are bold as lions. And I pray that you'd help us to have that characteristic and that attribute. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.